Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Avalon Technologies Limited Q1 FY24 conference call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dhruv Jain from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello everyone, welcome to Avalon Technologies 1Q FY24 earnings call. From the management side, today we have with us Mr. Kunalin Bhichha, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Bhaskar Srinivasan, President, Mr. R. M. Subramanian, the CFO of the company, Mr. Michael Robinson, the COO for USA Business, and Mr. Suresh Vyas, Head of Corporate Planning and Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir, for your opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thanks.
Thank you, Dhruv. On behalf of Avalon Technologies, we extend our sincere welcome to all of you for our Q1 FY24 earnings call. We deeply appreciate the unwavering support we have garnered since our listing, and we are committed to continue earning your trust as we move ahead. Given that a comprehensive business overview was presented during our first earnings call, we intend to provide a condensed version for the benefit of those who are new to our discussion today. Avalon Technologies is one of India's leading players in electronic manufacturing services with a global delivery footprint. Our journey started in 1997 with two aspiring entrepreneurs with a vision of bringing world-class electronics manufacturing to India. We are one of the leaders in high-mix, flexible volume manufacturing and are present across multiple industry verticals with a focus on complex integrated solutions with a significant engineering content. We have 12 manufacturing units located in India and the United States and are now adding two more manufacturing units in Chennai. Our key differentiators are vertical integration in true sense, enabling us to be a focused box-build player, global presence both in terms of manufacturing presence and customer base, and three, focusing on winning opportunities not only in mainstream sectors but also on emerging sunrise sectors like clean energy and high-margin businesses like aerospace. One of our core differentiators is that we offer vertical integrated solutions. Today, we are a one-stop shop offering true box-build solutions. That includes PCB design, new product development, cable assembly, sheet metal, plastics, magnetics, testing, and logistics. We do end-to-end development from PCB design to manufacturing of final product. We proudly extend our services to a range of industries, including clean energy, industrial, rail, aerospace, electric vehicles, medical, and security infrastructure. Moving to our business performance, let me begin by acknowledging that our Q1 results have been comparatively subdued. However, in line with our past trends and industry comparisons and our previous communication, our second half is significantly stronger than our first half. Currently, we are observing distinctive growth dynamics between the Indian and U.S. markets in the near term. The Indian market displays remarkable buoyancy, with the U.S. market presenting immediate short-term challenges. To share a perspective, in Q1, 45% of our business is from India and 55% is from the U.S. Notably, our Indian customer segment demonstrated robust growth, achieving a 50% increase in revenue during Q1 FY24 compared to the same period in FY23. As I anticipate, this growth is likely to be around 35% on a full-year basis. Conversely, revenue from our U.S. customers remained relatively flat year-on-year in Q1. This trend is a consequence of current hurdles posed by a slowing U.S. economy and inventory rebalancing steps taken by our customers from a 40-50-week lead time to a 20-week lead time, which was there during pre-COVID levels. Throughout our journey, we have encountered intermittent short-term declines often followed by periods of renewed market strength. While our U.S. customers' revenue grapples with immediate challenges, we also anticipate benefiting when the U.S. market regains its stride. Avalon has always played the role of a partner rather than a vendor, and we continue to stand by our customers to serve our customers through all phases of the business cycles. The fact that we have not lost a customer during the slowdown is testimony to our partnership. We had earlier guided for 25% revenue growth in FY24. As it stands, our Indian customer segment continues to outpace the industry growth. Yet, meeting our full year revenue growth guidance hinges on the U.S. market resurgence. If I were to wear a conservative hat, then the near-term revenue growth in FY24 may range between 15 and 25%. While macro conditions remain beyond our control, and we have spoken about the growth perspective, allow me to shift our focus to what we control, our profitability. Our financial success is not solely tied to delivering high-mix products. It is also rooted to a commitment to operational efficiency. Given the near-term challenges in the U.S., and as we strive to be operationally efficient, we are implementing two measures. One, optimizing production allocation, strategic relocation of some of our production activities from our U.S. plant to our India plant. Two, rationalizing costs in the U.S. operation. We have taken concrete steps in initiating a plan aimed at optimizing our U.S. operations. This process is already underway. The positive outcomes of these measures will become increasingly evident in the forthcoming quarters. As we address some of our short-term challenges, what truly excites us is the multitude and scale of opportunities that are coming our way. We are witnessing India's emergence as an accepted manufacturing destination, coupled with rapid growth of domestic electronics manufacturing. Let me highlight some of the customer wins and opportunities. We have made significant inroads in terms of customer breakthroughs and geographies and new segments. To give some examples, we have added 3 new clean energy customers, with one of them being in the EV space. The ramp of the same is expected in late 24 and 25. Furthermore, some of our previous clean energy wins are expected to transition to volume production in 2 to 3 quarters, with expansion estimated in FY25. We entered a new segment, received the first tooling orders for plastic parts for use in interiors of commercial aircrafts. We are also entering the thermal banquets, heat shields inside the aircraft engines for our aero customers. We have also entered a new geography for delivering complex PCB design and development, a strategic step that can open up a new avenue of growth. It is not always about the near term. The business environment we are experiencing now is challenging outside India. We endeavor to build an organization that can win and deliver on these opportunities that are unfolding over the next decade. Towards that, we are proactively adding seasoned senior management professionals across operations and business development. We are also expanding capacity. We are adding 2 new plants in Chennai. With that, I would like to thank all of you for joining the call. I will hand it over to Mr. Subramaniam, our CFO, for his detailed financial commentary.
Thank you, KB, and good evening to all. Thanks for joining the call today. I'd like to start this conversation with a discussion on last quarter gone by. In terms of numbers, in Q1 FY24, our revenue from operations is INR 235 crores, an increase of 19.9% year-on-year and a decrease of 14% quarter-on-quarter. Coming to gross margin is about 77 crores, up by 9% year-on-year and a decrease of 24% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. EBITDA is at 16.2 crores for the last quarter, up 17% year-on-year and a decrease of 61% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. If you look at EBITDA margin, that stood at 6.9%, a decrease of 307 basis points on a yearly basis and 823 basis points on quarter-on-quarter basis. PAT stood at 7 crores for the last quarter, down 24% year-on-year and 69% quarter-on-quarter basis. PAT margin stands at 2.9% for the last quarter. Coming to IPO funds utilization, our approved IPO, we mobilized about 320 crores from IPO as a primary capital, and our approved IPO fund utilization consists of debt repayment of 145 crores, working capital of 90 crores, and general corporate purpose requirements of 64.4 crores post-issue expenses. We have fully utilized all our IPO funds that have been made available to us. A small amount of IPO funds are left, and post-reconciliation with the DRLMs, the same will be utilized this quarter. Utilizing a mix of IPO and company-generated internal accrual funds, we have repaid approximately 200 crore of outstanding debt compared to pre-IPO levels in the Indian entities. And as of today, at group level, by end of this quarter, we are left with approximately 100 crore of debt in our U.S. subsidiary, CMA. Our Indian entities are almost fully debt-free now. Moving on to the balance sheet side, working capital days was at 151 days in Q1 FY24, comprising of 108 days of inventory, 67 days of receivable, and 24 days of payable. Encouragingly, we are witnessing initial indicators of declining working capital demand as the supply chain situation gradually normalizes. The once upward trajectory of inventory, which was seen in the last 1 year, has reached a stabilization point. Balancing the imperative of working capital efficiency alongside supporting the growth objectives presents a complex challenge. We will do our best in terms of managing it and maintaining the balance without compromising growth. I must add, while we are focused on growth, working capital cycle may fluctuate in line with customer requirements, including strict delivery lines, testing new prototype for customers, etc. We continue to focus on reducing our working capital cycle and expect to decrease by 10 to 15 days by end of FY24 compared to FY23. As on 31st July, we have about INR 125 plus crores of cash in cash, both from IPO as well as from internal accruals. Out of this, INR 40 crores is earmarked for investment in our U.S. subsidiary CNA to prepay costly source of funds, and the balance 85 plus crores will be surplus meant as a reserve and growth capital. Additionally, we prefer to keep the existing working capital lines in India available, amounting to rupees INR 175 crores. This additional cushion should allow us to aggressively bid for and execute significantly large orders, which are in our pipeline, and also be open for any inorganic growth opportunities which presents itself. In summary, our Q1 performance was characterized by significant growth in domestic business and slowdown in U.S. geography, along with the relative fixed costs that will be seen in the reduction of the margin. But we believe the U.S. customers should come back in H2, and coupled with new business pipeline, we believe we can reach the guidance of the top line which our CEO gave for this financial year. With respect to the margin, in spite of the headwinds, with saving in interest costs and optimization of our manufacturing operations and cost rationalization measures in U.S., which our CEO talked about, we are confident of maintaining our FY24 margin at similar levels that of FY23. Having talked about past performance, we'll move your attention to the market opportunities in medium term. Avalon has been in the sector for more than 20 plus years, telling the story of India manufacturing to the world. But we have not seen this level of new business activity in terms of global customer interest, number of plant visits, customer audits, and last but not the least, the support from government of India for the staggering growth of this industry. This is one of the best times to be in the industry, and as much as we are focusing on short-term performance, we need to focus on building the organization for future to exploit this industry tailwinds. We are cognizant of the substantial market opportunity in front of us, and early indications suggest that multinational firms and global firms who are desirous of creating alternative supply chains and diversifying their supply chain beyond China. I must highlight, nevertheless, EMS industry is a long-term play predicated on customer relationships and our performance. As a result, the China Plus One strategy will evolve over a longer time frame. One more aspect that I'd like to share is that we are engaging in organization that can handle the ensuing growth momentum. This is in terms of right talent recruitment, both at senior and mid-levels, processes for production delivery and working capital management. We expect that by implementing these initiatives, we'll be able to take advantage of expanding market opportunities and increase the long-term shareholder value. With this, I request the moderator to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Rahul Gajare from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions, and I think you touched on some aspect of the question that I had on the performance during the quarter. Now, I understand, you know, performance has been impacted by softer U.S. Business, you know, which I think you were expecting. Therefore, you know, H1 was expected to be soft. But, you know, incrementally for us to have a better understanding or project, better projection of the financials, is it possible that you could, when you're guiding for the revenue growth, you could actually talk about India business and US business separately at the revenue level itself? You know, so we have better predictability on the revenue side. So, you know, you talked about 35% growth that you're expecting in this year for the India business. How, what is the kind of growth that you are expecting for the US business? That's the first question.
Okay, so what the two or three aspects to this, one is we are signing multiple new customers in the US which are going to give us revenue in the later part of the year. That is, you know, the greenfield coming in. Number two is some of these larger customers who are rebalancing inventory, we think they will start cutting. This is after 4 or 5 years of continuously building up inventory, first during the COVID times and then the supply chain issues. Things have all quietened down now in those two elements. And they were at a 40 to 50 week lead time. Now coming back to the pre-COVID levels at 20 week lead time. So them coming back itself will get us to our normal levels. New customers coming in, and three, some of our clean energy customers who have had delayed starts, they're also supposed to cut in the later part of this year. Would that answer your question, Rahul?
No, you know, if I were to quantify the kind of growth that you would expect.
So that's a little bit tricky to answer because I think because of the, when the customer is going to cut back in. But we would see similar growth like last year.
Fair enough. Okay. But, you know, a second question is on, you know, the profitability. You did talk about, you know, being able to maintain margins of, you know, between 12 to 13% in FY24. Looking at the first quarter performance, obviously you would be expecting a bump up in profitability in the second half. Now my question is, you know, you talked about, you know, rationalizing costs from your US operation. Could you touch upon how do you intend to, you know, ultimately cut costs in the US and, you know, whether this 12 to 13% margin is something that will be sustainable, you know, for a longer period of time?
Yeah, Subramanian here. So in terms of how we plan to achieve, we said, maintaining the profitability at a PAT level is what we'd like to maintain it, and hopefully we are confident of achieving the same in terms of FY23 levels. That's point number one. In terms of what the various measures we are doing, KB did talk about, starting with product rationalization, leading to product optimization in terms of where we manufacture, and that corresponding leading to in terms of cost optimization at the US level. Okay, so that's why at a very high level we are going to work on. Considering the sensitivity of what it is, we would not like to get into the individual details of what we are doing it, but this is a measure which we have started. It will take some time to cut in, but coupled with the interest cost saving and these measures, we are confident of reaching the profitability levels at the bottom line level.
Carlos, you want to explain the 70%?
Yeah, and just to add to it in terms of the way the our business is organized, Basically, there's about 75% of the manufacturing is done in India, and that 25% is done in US as of date, you know, for this quarter. And if you look at an India business level, India manufacturing level, we've been able to maintain the profitability in terms of at the last year levels for the India business, and it's a US business where we have been impacted. And the reasons are very clear. It's because of the US economic slowdown and the consequent top line impact. So, and the fixed cost being what it is. Coupled with all of these measures in terms of cost rationalization, we should be able to achieve it. And that's how we want to do it in the long term as well, and try and keep the US front end, but do as much as manufacturing in US, India, and try and service the customers in US, which is a high margin business. This will not dilute our focus on India business, which is continues to grow at 50% plus of what he said, and guidance also given in terms of what we will end up for the future. Rahul, did I answer your question?
Yeah, fair enough. Now, just to make this particular point, to take this point further, now, you know, the breakup of revenue has been pretty much like it was last time, you know, where industry was a large piece. Followed by mobility and then clean energy. Which is the area where you actually faced headwinds on profitability side? If that is something you can talk about, you know, that will be helpful.
We've not got into, we don't give guidance in specifically in terms of segment-wise. I think in the, individually what we are spread out across all sectors, as you know, we are spread across. What we are seeing is a significant growth opportunity in clean energy, which is growing better than the rest of the sectors. In terms of profitability, we don't track it in individual segment level.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Very good afternoon. Congrats on the good growth that you had reported during the quarter. My first question is with respect to the strong traction that we are seeing in the India market. Which are the sectors that are driving this growth? If you can throw some light on it.
So a lot of it is coming from our industrial, and some of it is clean energy pass-through to the U.S., as well as our largest segment, we are seeing the railway side pick up quite a bit compared to last year.
Got it, sir. And from a futuristic aspect in terms of the India business, are there any plans to get into the high volume segments like auto, consumer durable, etc., which can drive the India business growth?
So we are actually, when we say clean energy, one of our largest customers is in the EV space. We hope to finalize and start later part of this year, and that will be a high volume product.
Okay. And the durable space also, any thoughts on that? Is there plans to be a foray into categories in that kind of categories also?
Ravi, we have always tried to, not that like we don't like the business, then our mindset needs to change for that. But saying that, I would say in the future, we re-look at it. But for sure, not as of now.
Got it, sir. And in terms of working capital, so how much scope is there in, for it to improve going forward? Because if you end up reducing that, your return metrics can improve significantly. So was asking from that angle.
Yeah, Subramanian here, I'll try and answer this question. If you look at pre-COVID level, we were operating about, in terms of inventory, which is where the real numbers going have gone up. We were operating about 80 to 90 days levels. Today, we are significantly higher. So there is a good scope for us to look at it. And we have given, we believe we can do about 10 to 15 days reduction on that side. And the only thing is we need to keep balancing between the growth opportunities which comes, because when you have a new customer kicking in, you cannot look at efficiency, but we will continue to manage this balance and work on working capital. Once the customer stabilizes, we definitely can improve the inventory levels on that.
Got it, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Adesh from Motilal. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand that with this slowdown in US, you mentioned that growth will be similar to what you did in last year, right? If only the domestic growth sustains. Last year we did around, you know, 12 to 15% top line growth. Is that the number we are looking at?
No, when I mentioned that, I thought I was asked Adesh about U.S. growth. Okay, so that's the answer for the U.S. growth, because we are seeing very flat lines now. We hope to have so that was the answer to the U.S. growth when I was asked.
Okay, sir. And sir, when we are talking about cost optimization in our U.S. operations, right? Does that imply, you know, somewhat of defocusing U.S. at least for the near term, and, you know, putting more focus on the domestic, where actually the growth and predictability is?
So, as you all are well aware, India is going through a phenomenal growth rate compared to all the markets around the world. In the near term, our cost optimization is to make sure that we deliver to what we have promised. And we'll rethink it, you know, 6 months down the road, but we are not stopping the process of optimizing costs in the U.S. with both transferring products to India as well as looking at what we need not do there. In the same sense, we're increasing our business development activities in the U.S.
Got it, sir. And, sir, you know, I see QOQ, there is a slight dip in your order book. Now, obviously, there would be some execution also, but has the run rate of order inflows also slowed down for you?
So the two pieces to that, if you look at how we look at orders, is what is executable in the next 12 to 14 months. The rest of it comes either in a letter of intent or contracts, multi-year contracts. So you see our contracts piece actually increase. But on the negative side, coming in from the U.S. customer base especially, when you're rebalancing inventory, you don't expect new orders to come in for the short term. Okay? So it's a combination of two. The order book is actually increasing in the longer term, but not in the 12 to 14 month term, which you have very much covered for this year.
Got it, sir. So we should see some moderation in your order book growth as well. And sir, can you throw some more light on this inventory normalization which is happening? In which segment it is happening? It is happening in U.S. solar, U.S. wind, or, you know, U.S. general industrial?
As you know, we are well diversified. So normally, you know, during COVID times, the aero business went to zero. You know, it didn't affect us because something else picked up, right? But in this scenario, what we are seeing is that the overall optimism in the U.S., it's been there for too long, and people have, you know, with the monetary tightening there also, people are across the board. It could be one clean energy, I mean, one auto, one healthcare. So it's not just one industry or so. It is across the board phenomenon with customers there and their mentality today. They normally are first to react either way. Whether you want to increase or decrease, they'll react first. But unfortunately, a lot of our customers are doing it together.
Okay. I'll come back, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Renu Baid Pugalia from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, team. A few questions from my side. So can we, I missed some of the initial comments. I'm not sure if you answered. Can we have some more updates on the clean energy? Last year we had a delay in the shipment for Enarca. So where are we this year in terms of the first shipment plus the rest of the volume ramp up? And apart from that, how is the outlook for rest of the other segments? While you did mention that the U.S. is seeing a broad-based slowdown across diversified industries, but if you also understand that the government has been very aggressively giving incentives for some of the clean energy transitions, so is it not that some of the clean energy segments would be growing at a much better pace from these startups compared to the rest of the economy or the industry there? That's the first question.
Very good. Just repeat the first part of the question, because there were two or three questions that you want to...
Okay. A, first update on how has been the offtake for NRCA and the clearances that they were waiting for.
Okay, sorry, sorry.
When do we expect the shipments picking up for them?
So we believe that that will, as of today, I know it's been a couple of delays, but the first 100 sets or so, will, which is around 50 to 70 lakhs per set, should start flowing out late part of Q3 and Q4. So that, from what we know today, has started. And we also have an LOI for 600 units for the next 2 years. Would that answer your question, Venu?
Yes, that's the first part. And the second part, in general, outlook on the clean energy
and the U.S.
Yeah.
So, absolutely, there's a lot of activity in the U.S. and we have signed up two or three more, two in the U.S. and one locally in the clean energy space. And it is all with the hybrid manufacturing model where the labor intensive part is done in India and the final assembly and the automated part is done in the U.S. So that is going strong. And one of our other larger customers, we expect there have been two delays in start. I know that will be your next question. So the latest info we have is that they will start in Q4 of this year, which is a substantial piece for us.
So broadly, if we take us a 3-year view, in your sense, what should be the size of the clean energy business portfolio, given large customers which are in pipeline and products are on their way? So conservatively, in your view, how could we see the size of the business 3 years down the line?
The way we've always committed to is a 35% of our business in the next 3 to 4 years will come from the clean energy business, and mostly out of the U.S. Geography, with most of the manufacturing done in India and the final assembly done in the U.S.
Sure. So secondly, if you look at the railway segment, so clearly as in government has been going very aggressively with upgradation of the old network, both rolling stock as well as signaling telecom braking systems. So can you share updates in terms of how are you looking at the pipeline from your customers for the domestic market building up and any global export opportunity of having manufacturing for some of our Japanese customers, which was under discussion some time back?
Yeah, as you well know, it's already increased this quarter, and we were maybe, I would say, 20 to 30% this quarter already in the railway side. We are expecting a lot more coming in the next 2 or 3 quarters. It's relating to government releases, but once the releases happen, I think our immediate business, which we already do, whether it's braking or whether it is interlocking, is going to see a substantial increase. And some of our customers, Japanese and Indian, are into getting into the new Kavach systems, but that's not immediate, that's in the longer term. And also in the metros, into gates and other, and most of this is from the Japanese and French customers. Does that answer your question, Rini?
Partially, yes. Can we quantify the opportunity, addressable opportunity size for us over the next couple of years, or say from 3-year, 4-year perspective, our addressable market, what size are we looking at?
So it's really interesting that you asked that, because I asked the same thing to our customers in Japan a couple of weeks back, and they said it's all relative to the government releases, but they said get ready for a substantial increase, which is, you know, 3 or 4 times what we do, but they're not sure how much is the release to them. But in our mindset, we can execute it fairly straightforward once it comes through. Because we've been doing this for 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, right. So when they say get ready, does that really mean that while on an average today we are working at 60% utilization levels, we may have to upgrade our capacity for a rail segment of the market?
It's not that our buildings are getting built or, you know, are getting finished in the next 4 or 5 months. For us, the longest lead time is the building and the infrastructure. And we believe if we need... we've got enough capacity in the short term, so there's always 8-month, 9-month lead time to get this thing going from our customer. So we have enough time to get equipment if required, which I think in the near term, we are very well much covered with the capacity which exists today.
Sure. And lastly, a question related to IT PLI. While we know you're not directly there into IT products, but you also deal with customers and the communication and networking devices. So you think the recent government initiative to drive localization and have import duties and restrictions on direct imports can drive substantial growth for you also in this business? Or this would not be one of the core areas for you?
Now, there is some strategic elements we are doing, which I cannot discuss on the call. But we are looking at two large entities or government bodies who we'll be working with.
Got it. I have a couple of more questions. I'll come back in the queue.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Yeah, thank you. And all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Amar from Alf Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, Amar.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Sir, firstly, on the, the growth guidance which we are talking about, what we are saying is that, India looks strong. And when we are guiding for a 25 to 30% growth rate, so ideally we are talking about a 24, 25% growth rate even from the U.S. business, right?
Yeah, that's why, that was the initial thing. With the slowdown, we have little concerns on that. That's why we rationalized and said 15 to 25%. So it's not 25 to 30% as we initially were saying. But we very much hope that customers kick back in as well as our new projects kick off, if that's okay.
Okay. So at least we are talking about 25% we can do.
Is it 15 to 25?
Oh, that much of a variation. And secondly, sir, in terms of the margin guidance, which we talked about 12 to 13%, in this quarter, if I see our gross margin, and I mean, all the pressure of EBITDA is largely from the gross margin. So what should we assume, going forward? Is this a change in the product mix led to this kind of gross margin?
Yeah, Subramanian here. On the gross margin, as you rightly said, the key reason is change in the product mix in terms of the geographies as well. And some of our high margin customers tend to be from U.S. have slowed down. But as we see an uptick from the U.S. customers moving forward, we should get a clawback. If not to the previous level, definitely 100 to 200 bits increase is a possibility. And in terms of overall profitability, taking into account all the measures which we are taking in terms of cost optimization, product rationalization, at the bottom line level, at the PAT level, we should be able to reach the last year levels, which is about 7 to 8%.
7 to 8% at a PAT level.
Yeah.
Okay. So that means what, 12-13% at the EBITDA level, right?
Yeah, you can work through the numbers. There will be a saving in the interest cost as well. So that's how overall it come down to that.
Okay. And sir, we at one side we are talking about that second half is going to be stronger for us because of the new customer signing, which we are doing today. So then why we are becoming cautious on the US? Because we already have the large pipeline of US customers, which are becoming, going to become the deliverables, let's say in the second half. And I think that was the story even earlier also for us. And we always guided for that first half will be muted and second half will be the strongest. And still we were guiding about 30% kind of a growth rate. So what is changing here? I mean, that story remains same, right?
Yeah, the story remains same. I think we may be talking to a little different thing. Even if it's a US customer, 73% of what we do is done in India. Okay? Our goal is to, now today is 23% in the US. The goal is to have an 80-20 mix. Historically, we have said that. 80% of manufacturing will be done in India. Only the front end of 20% will be done in the U.S. So the rationalization there is to say if it slowed down for US manufacturing, that's the only thing which is getting affected. Nothing to do with the 75% of what we do in India for the US market. Would that explain it?
Mr. Amar, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. The next question comes from the line of Neil Nandkarni from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So I just had a couple of questions. One was regarding that, so you have mentioned that we have entered a new segment that is that heat shield, and as well as we have received order for plastic components for the commercial aircraft business. So can you just give some color on this, like what is the market size and what is the opportunity size over here?
So to start off with, these are parts of the aircraft where you, when you sit in the seat, you touch on top, okay, on plastic side. So we've got the tooling order. That's a big, huge win for us. We've been working on that for a couple of years, and it's a start, okay. So if you look at it, it's going to be, it'll take, you know, 8 to 12 months to get started. But the start itself will be around $3 to $5 million a year, but just on one part. Okay, and we expect to expand because we are getting into plastics in the interiors of aircraft. The first time we've been doing smoke detectors in planes before this.
Also, you mentioned that we do a lot of work in the railway side also. So, sir, what will be our market share for that in the railway category in India especially?
So, I think our customer will, I'm not exactly sure of what our customer's market share is, but these are a substantial share in what is happening in interlocking. And the braking systems, it's normally two to three vendors, and we are with one of the larger players. And we've been doing this for years. It's like 7 to 10 years.
Okay. And also, so this time around, I believe our box build share has gone up. So it reached around 52%, right? Versus last year, it was around 47%. So, what do we expect our box build to be a total part of our revenue going ahead? And is the box and what is the margin profile for this? Is it higher, significantly higher compared to just the plain PCB and plastic?
We always try to take any product, whether you know the product normally has cable, PCB, metal. We may start up with any commodity, but our endeavor is to get the whole product. It takes a few years to go there, or sometimes it's immediate. So our endeavor always is to increase our box build, okay, capability, where it's a total solution provided for the customer. There was a second part of your question, and I have missed it. So that the good thing it goes up, and then it, you know, it's not a huge marginal difference. 2-3 points are there if you do a box build more than just PCB or plastics or so.
Oh, okay. And lastly, sir, can you give some color on like how is the seasonality across the industry vertical through the year?
Sorry, can you repeat the question, please? Sorry,
we missed it. Couldn't hear it.
So, what is the seasonality across industry verticals across the year?
Seasonality. Okay. Generally, the if we look at our past, it's the H1 generally is lighter and H2 is stronger. That's the essential seasonality we have seen. Otherwise, it's spread across both US and Indian geographies. And we have not seen any specific seasonality other than the H1, H2.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir, and all the best for the office.
Thank you. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Navid Virani from Bastion Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Hi, Navid.
First one is First one is on margin, sir. So as far as my understanding goes, that box build and the export business have a relatively better margin than the others. So if I try to correlate the increase in box build percentage to our revenue, and also export being a significant part of our revenue, I am finding it difficult to correlate with the substantial margin hit which we have taken during the quarter. So your comments on that front initially, sir, will be very helpful.
Yeah. So I think in terms of the box build margin, what you say is true if you look at only from the box build perspective. But there are also other factors playing in, okay, and the key factor which in terms of leading to the margin dip for us this quarter, okay, if you look at it, is essentially coming from the way our business is organized, which is the India business and US business, India manufacturing, US manufacturing. So about 7, just to give a number, 75% of India business is manufactured here, and that, if you look at the margins are similar to the last year, and we have been able to deliver on that. It's a US business where the top line has gone down, but the fixed costs remain. That is the where, because of the operating leverage in the reverse side, is the where the margin come down. So at a consolidated level, you are seeing that impact. Okay. So that's where the hit in the margin comes in. But if you look at on a standalone basis of what you said, just for the box build, what you say is true. But what is playing out for us is this factor, because of which you are seeing the dip in the margins. Did I explain it?
Yes, that's very helpful. Also, secondly, we are saying that 75 to 80% of our production is happening here in India, and the rest is happening in the US. But sir, if I look at our employee cost and just try to compare it with our peers, our employee cost seems to be substantially high. So just want to get your sense on how one should look at employee cost going forward.
So I think you kind of nailed what our issue is today, is because a lot of our employee cost, though there's a lower production out of US, is driven by the US cost. Okay. So if you just look at the India cost, it'll be very, very similar to our peers, I would say, a little higher. So because of the US-India model, of course, we enjoy better margins, but there's also cost to it. And that is the rationale this quarter where, the business didn't come through, so the costs are shown out. So usually, we've not seen a slowdown in the US like this before. So that is the fundamental issue. A lot of the higher cost is because of the US employee cost.
And can you give us, quantify the, understanding as to how this employee cost should look, once business becomes, status quo, as you said?
Yeah. Mr. Subraman, I'll try and answer this question. In terms of the employee cost, I think as we talked, KBD talked about what is the key one. Our endeavor is to keep the US front end and the employee cost in terms of the containment and minimal, and our ratio, target ratios in terms of the business is 80-20. But mind you, our US market is the high value market for us, so we'll continue to focus on that. India market is growing at a much faster pace, okay, and then we'll do that. So in terms of the target market, we will be at 50-50 in the long run, okay. And in terms of the employee cost, our endeavor is to keep it the minimum so that our profitability margins are maintained. Okay.
Okay. That's helpful. And sir, lastly, if you can give us the contribution of PCBA, wire harnessing, and other segments for FY23 as well as for this quarter, it will be great help.
We don't give our in terms of the tracking bit of it, segment wise we don't track it, so that's something which we don't share it. So what we do is at a business at a consolidated level, and in terms of the segment of the box build at a revenue level is what we do tracking, and that's what is shared.
Okay, sir, no problem. Thank you for all the elaborated answers. All the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Navid.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vishal Singh from Makrana Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Hi, Vishal. Yes, you are audible.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand what you mentioned something like the margin difference between a normal PCB and a box build. Did I hear it correct? It was 2-3%?
Yeah, I would say that, Vishal.
Okay, thanks. Secondly, I just wanted to understand the... So basically, Indian market is growing very fast, and I understand that all the infra... I mean, there is a pickup in infra in India, etc. There is a lot of capex which is going on. But I want to understand whatever the government of India is doing in terms of creating electronic manufacturing ecosystem in India, in terms of import, pushing for import substitution, etc. So I just wanted to understand from you, how is that helping your company in terms of growth?
Personally, I've been a big proponent of import substitution. For years, we've been doing that in India. If you take the railway segment, a lot of that came from outside the country before. And the last few years, it's been done. But today, it's been very much formalized, or each segment is starting to see that. We only welcome that, and that will lead to a lot of opportunities where you need Make in India. And that is where a lot of the China transfers will start happening. And we are starting to see some of that already with some industrial majors we've been working with, where the government or the states want it, but they want it with made in India. And they're helping us to transition from China to India.
Okay, so if I understood correctly, you are getting more and more business from the companies who are getting their businesses transferred from China, and within India as well, people are giving more and more business to Indian EMS companies. Is that correct? Because of the government push.
Yeah, I think that is primarily across the industry, just not for us. There's an opportunity, and not only for the Indian market, but what used to come from outside. Will happen in India, and that's our belief, and I think the ecosystem is trending towards that.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. I think that's what I wanted to understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Vishal.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Amar from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, secondly, as you're talking about this destocking issue in US, so according to our understanding, how much time this is going to take to take away this destocking issue?
To be honest, we are hoping tomorrow, but that's not the right way to look at it.
Any understanding from the customer side?
See, this is all fairly new, starting in the last, few weeks. So the rationale, it could be some of the customers may come back in a couple of months, some may come back in, 5 or 6 months. We are hoping that they do come back faster. But different customers have different time frames. And as we get closer, we'll know more. So it's very difficult for us to predict because everybody is going through this... kind of at the same time. So we're hoping some of it will be short-lived.
Okay. Perfect, sir.
Tumhi kya vyakti shubh bol?
Thank you. This was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
We are very heartened by the strong support of our investors during our journey as a listed company. We will strive to repose the faith that the investors have placed in our company. I express my sincere gratitude for your unwavering support and confidence in Avalon. Together, we are poised for an exceptional journey of profitable growth and success. Thank you so much.
On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.